नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 15th chapter, text number 29, entitled Instruction for the Civilized Human Being. So today verse is 29, so please repeat after me. Yatha vartadayo hi ardha योगस्यार्थं न बिभ्रति अनर्थाय भवेयुः सृणा पूर्तामिष्टां तथा सतः वट् फॉरवर्ड मीनिंग यथा As Vartha Adayaha activities like occupational and professional duties. He certainly Artha income from such occupational duties. Yogasya of mystic power. For self-realization. Artham benefit. Na not. Bibrati help. Anardhaya without value. Binding one to repeated birth and death. Bhavayuhu. They are. Sma. At all time. Purtam ishtam ritualistic Vedic ceremonies. Tatha similarly asataha of the materialistic non-devotee. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Abhay Charan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. As professional activities or business, profit cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement. And the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. If one becomes very rich through his professional activities, through trades and through agriculture, this does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. To be spiritually advanced is different from being materially rich. Although the purpose of life is to become spiritually rich, unfortunate men, misguided as they are always engaged in trying to become materially rich. Such material engagement, however, do not help one in actual fulfillment of human mission. On the contrary, material engagement lead one to be attracted to many unnecessary necessities, which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in a degraded condition, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14.18. Urdhavam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittistha adho gacchanti tamasaha. Those situated in the modes of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planet. Those in the modes of passion leave on the earthly planet. And those in the modes of ignorance go down to the hellish world. Especially in this Kali Yuga, Material advancement means degradation and attraction for many unwanted necessities that create a low mentality. Therefore, jaganya guna vrittista, since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next life either as animal or in other degraded form of life. Making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimations of unintelligent men. But factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jenam Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurun Sri Yodapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchan Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwabhanusute Deve Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yatha Vartadayo Hi Artha Yoga Yartham Na Bibrati Anarthaya Bhuve Yuhusma Purtham Istham Tatha Sataha. As professional activities or business profit cannot help one in spiritual advancement but are the source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremony cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to beg for the mercy of the senior devotee and all the devotees being sitting over here, taking your valuable time. Hopefully, this class will be profitable for me and for you as well. So, this is a continuation, the instruction of whom? Sri Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj, being a Mahajan, he knows exactly what is the benefit, ultimate benefit of the living entity. And continuing in the same direction, Prahlad Maharaj here is talking about what is the use of having a huge amount of money or material possession, where that would not be able to help an inch toward perfection. So then Prahlad Maharaj, taking the position as an instructor, he is educating his classmate about the importance of obtaining this human form of life. Prabhupada Prabhupada, he has mentioned few points. We would like to just reflect upon it, so we could be on time, because there's three more occasions, disappearance and appearance, so we need to talk on. We would like to touch also upon that. So, material possession basically has to do with the body. And as soon the living entities are in touch with the material possession, there's many things basically which evolve, which develop. The one who has got material possession, the immediate ingredients, immediate companion which normally comes and assists that person is being puffed up. Am I right? The more you get material possession, what happens? We become puffed up. So in this puffed up situation, that's what Prahlad Maharaj was saying. When you're puffed up, then what will happen? You lose the chance to accept the wonderful opportunity of Krishna consciousness. Now let me reflect upon the life of Dhruva Maharaj. I'm sure you might have gone through, you might have read it, but it's always good for the purifications of everyone we touch upon. Dhruva Maharaj, obviously he was a son of a king. Being a son of a king, but was not directly, you know, associated or directly was being accepted. So then he sat down on the lap of his father, and the other queen said, because you haven't taken birth from my womb, so you can't sit on the lap of your father. Because the king had many wives, and Dhruva Maharaj, he felt that touches his heart. It's obviously as a small child, they normally get disturbed very fast. But in this case, Dhruva Maharaj, he take the word of the other queen very seriously, deep in his heart. And he left and he spoke to his mother. He said, Mom, what I got to do in order to get the possession, in order to get the opulence that my father has, more than what my father has? And the mother said, well, I heard about the Supreme Lord is Lakshmipati. If we worship the Supreme Lord, what will happen? Definitely, that will be awarded to you. Prahlad, being a small child, he started walking. He started gathering knowledge. What to do, how to do, when to do, so I can achieve what I'm looking for. Prahlad Maharaj pursued. On the way, he met with whom? He met with Narad Muni. Meeting with Narad Muni tricked him. Because he asked, oh, you're a small child, you're not playing with your friend, what you're trying to do? He said, well, I wanted to have the wealth equally or more than my father has. Oh, really? And Narad Muni, he saw something very wonderful within the child. And that was the utsaha. Like the first verse of Upadesha Samrita goes as follow. Second verse goes as follow. Utsahan nishaya dhairyat tat tat karma pravartanat. So forth. So the first ingredients that is required for suitable advancement in Krishna consciousness is utsaha. But keep this in mind, utsaha can be utilized and misutilized as well. You can be very enthusiastic in materialistic life. But here, Narad Muni, being one of the Mahajan, he understood and he sees a certain quality within that boy. If that could be diverted, if that could be directed towards something positive, he could do wonder. And we will see in the life of many Prabhupada disciples around, meeting with Prabhupada personally or, you know, indirectly, Prabhupada has touched the heart of each disciple and brought out the gem within the heart. So Dhruva Maharaj pursued, say, okay, what to do? You go toward this direction. And Dhruva Maharaj, being 5 years old child, has to face so much problems on the way. Like we also face so many problems in spiritual life. It is not the highway, my way, highway. When once we start a spiritual life, this is a moment we're having so many other difficulties as well. Like the difficulties to be awake while sitting in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Am I right? It's a big, big, big problem. So, there's so much problems once you start practicing spiritual life, because Krishna wanted to see that the devotee, the sadhaka, really want me or want Maya. Like Gaur Govinda Swami used to say, Kalir Chela or Krishna Chela. So what we got to, what we wanted in life, we need to define it. And after defining it, we need to make a step. So Dhruva Maharaj was proceeding, and Dhruva Maharaj antidhyasm was unshakable. Dhruva Maharaj's faith toward what he wanted in life was not being diverted. So Dhruva Maharaj, he practiced severe austerities, and through the practice he got a chance to see the Supreme Lord in the form of Paramatma. Saying so, Paramatma said, well, you will not see me again. Oh, then what to do? Then the next life, when you're perfected, you would be able to see each other. So in this way, we find Dhruva Maharaj was very enthusiastic to achieve whatever he wanted to achieve. So he wanted to achieve something which, as per the verses, says it is a stumbling block in spiritual life. But Narad Muni, in contact with Narad Muni, the same endeavor that Dhruva Maharaj was making to become more powerful or more rich than his father was kind of diverted. And Dhruva Maharaj says, well, I was looking for something. I was looking for something which is as good as broken glasses. I was looking for something which is as good as broken glasses. What a fool I was. I was looking for something which is easily available anywhere and everywhere. So what's the point? But now, due to the association of Narad Muni, I have got the real stuff which I'm looking for. So what I've got? I've got the jewel. So, as mentioned in the verse, a material possession, it is indeed, it's a big stumbling block. When the saintly person would go and visit the house of individual, that's a duty of the Paramahamsas, the duty to go door to door and inspire the grihasthas and the other people in the society. So when we find that even in our cases, those who have done book distribution, I'm sure it may be familiar with you, when you go for book distribution, you find a big house, and then within the mind you may be thinking, oh, we would be doing a very nice book distribution or a nice preaching or whatever cultivation. But which is unfortunate, because reaching that place, you will find there's an electric door. You would find there's a big plate has written something in this, the mantra. Which mantra is this? If you dare to come in, then you may lose 1 kilo of your flesh. So beware of dog. My dog is hungry for 3 days, so beware. There's many quotations, because we visit normally the places, and these are mantra we got to learn, and that gives something within the mind. Oh, then how do I go inside? Within that, the person who are wealthy, they have something which is known as an alarm system with camera. You might have seen it. If you want to ring the bell, there would be a voice. Yeah, who is this? And they look around, they find no one but the speaker. I say, well, we are such and such, and we would like to come and see you. He said, well, I'm sorry, we are busy today. So being wealthy, we lose the chance to receive our premi bhakta, or a Krishna conscious devotee, or a loving devotee of Krishna, to come and associate with us, so we can be influenced about Krishna consciousness. So we lose this chance. Now, we find people today, they are very, very arrogant and very puffed up of their riches. Am I right? Let's reflect upon the early days. People used to work for 4 months. How many months? 4 months. And the rest of the month they used to spend while visiting the holy places and so forth. It was agriculture. In today's society, people are working 12 months. And early days they used to work for 4 to 5 or 6 hours, whatever hours, for 4 months. And now they're working for 12 to 30 and 14, sometime more than this. Isn't it? So then, you find people who are working for 4 months a year, and then the rest of the year they used to spend upon cultivation of Krishna consciousness, and now we call ourselves so much sophisticated and so much, so forth, And then we call ourselves that we are advanced. But Prabhupada mentioned about it. It is not advancement because the same propensities which were available earlier, it is available today, but with so much endeavor. So Dhruva Maharaj, his enthusiasm toward achieving that possession was tricked by Narad Muni. And Narad Muni changed his view completely. And then finally, he got something which basically were needed for Krishna consciousness. Now you see the other way. We would like to touch upon the pros and the cons, like because the purport goes as such. Let's reflect upon a very famous devotee which is known as Kolavicha Shidhar. I'm sure you must be familiar with this as well. But like talking about it, it gave rise, you know, the taste to listen to it. It gave rise something which will burn our nartha within the heart. So Kolavicha Shidhar, he was a pro brahmana. Could I just request everyone to raise their arm up on the sky and chant with me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you so much. Kolavicha Shridhar was a poor brahmana living in a hut. And when it is rainy, Kolavicha Shridhar has to find a suitable area where the water doesn't drop in. So you could understand how poor Kolavicha Shridhar was. Kolavicha Shridhar, he had a business, he had for the living, you know. So what was the business he had? Selling banana leaves, using banana leaves to make donuts and to make plates or whatsoever, and he used to sell that, out of which he used to spend 50% of his income into Ganga Puja, doing the worship of Ganga Devi, worshipping Ganga Devi and so forth. So, being so poor, he had practically no saving. He spent everything into day-to-day living. But he was very much engrossed. He was very much deeply, involved into chanting the holy name of the Lord. And while doing so, he was chanting the holy name of the Lord. It so happened Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to pass by. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he passed by, he recognized that devotee. It is very important for a sadhaka to execute in a certain service where the Supreme Lord recognizes. We may be doing many other services which may be, you know, kind of disturbances for the Krishna. Like we may be singing very nice. People normally come to me and say, "What do you sing very well?" But I said, "I know what is in. And I've been praying." So we may be singing very nice melody, but if the heart basically is attracted, if the heart is stinned with the material desire, do you think Krishna will listen to that song? Yes, no? Is it clear? No? No, it's no. We may be singing. We are listening to a recording, and that recording has some problem. That recording has some problem, and then make like a funny sound. Maybe you have heard this, you know, a recording which has no good record. And then we will listen to something, a sound like this, which will not be appealing to us. Similarly, when we offering any services that we are into, whatever services has been assigned to, if that services is being rendered in that mood, being, you know, affected by karma, krodha, moha, madha, matsarya, what will happen? That service would not be accepted. Kolavicha Shridhar, even though he was poor, and his clothing, there was so much hole into his clothes, he used to see which area, which part of my dhoti I should tie it so I can hide my private part. That much poor. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after reaching his place, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was kind of, you know, very happy. And he was cracking a joke. He said, "You know, you're being miser. You got so much money and then you don't give it out." And he was bargaining. "How much is your donor?" "It is 50 paisa or whatever paisa at that time." And he said, "Oh, how could you make money like this? This is excessive. You're charging so much. He said, no. To make these banana donuts, I need to go to the jungles and bring it back, get it dry, and make a bowl, whatever donuts, and then go to the marketplace and sell it out. And at the end of the day, I get whatever paisa, whatever rupees, I divide it into half, loyally, and then I give it out in the worship of Ganga Devi. No, I don't believe you. You must be cheating. He said, no, I don't cheat. I have taken a vow that I should not cheat. Like we take a vow when we take an initiation, am I sure? Everyone who's initiated, that four principles, 16 rounds a day, and the Kadasi, 25 rounds. And be careful, especially with Gopal Krishna Goswami, chant your round attentively. I would never fail in any lecture for Maharaj Sri that, you know, chant your round attentively. Any question come, he would revolve and bring back, chant your round attentively. Because 11 offenses, which is chanting unattentively. The 11th offenses will give rise to all the other offenses. If we don't chant around attentively, what will happen? We would be forced to commit the other offenses, which is the first, second, up to 10. That's basically the root cause of all the problem that we are facing. To that degree we are cautious on our chanting, to that degree our vices enemy would be annihilated. That serious is the chanting. And I would say this, 2 hours of chanting must be given to the utmost priority. No other businesses in this. No talking. No phone business. Isn't it? And no cracking joke while chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhu, we got to see you. We got some prasad of yesterday. No business as such. As of, you know, we got a chance to meet with the Prime Minister. And then while sitting with the Prime Minister, and we are just conversing, and then suddenly the phone rings. I say, well, you know, dear, just make paneer sabji for me. We got to come and have it. The Prime Minister will say, get out from here. What would the Prime Minister say? I have some problem of hearing. What would the Prime Minister say? Get out from here. We are chanting Hare Krishna, my sweet Lord. Please engage me in your loving devotional service. And when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna comes. Or send Srimati Radharani, see, a sadhaka. And when they come, and then you're conversing with someone else, how would he feel? He would not feel good. That 2 hours chanting, we have to make a garlands of these 2 ingredients, which is humility and tolerance, and put it in our neck. We got to be humble, we got to be tolerant, and we got to be straightforward. If someone comes and bugs you, generally it's not bug because people like to listen to all sort of garbage, which is unfortunate. Whenever there is prajalpad, you will find the ear, the door of the ear open wide. Am I right? Isn't it? Yeah. No. He didn't hear. Even the 2 ear, but didn't hear. That's a sad part of it. So when the prajalpa goes on, our door of the ear open wide, and we become so alert. All the senses become so much alert, and then we give so much attention about it. Think about it. If you chant your run and giving that much attention, what will happen? So, Kola Vichachidar, he was basically arguing back. He was very genuine, simple heart devotee. He said, no, Mahaprabhu, it's not as such. I basically use everything in the Lord's service, in Ganga's service, and whatever is left over just for my maintenance. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu look at him. He said, well, see his clothes and he see his bowl. He used to take whatever the food from that. He used to take a shower from the same bowl. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu suddenly pick up that bowl and drunk that water. And Kula Vishashidhar says, oh, this is my great misfortune. What are you doing? You are Lakshmipati. Please don't do that. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, you are the real Lakpati. You're the real what? the Lakhpati, because Kulavicha Sridhar was chanting the holy name of the Lord, not one, not two, but many, many rounds. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu acknowledged that. So one side, material opulences will be a stumbling block in the spiritual life. The other side, one devotee could be rich. In which form? Could be rich spiritually. Am I right? This kind of spiritual richness would be no impediment. That will create no impediment in life. Like Kulavicha Sridhar attracts the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became such a loving devotee. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu acknowledged him, embraced him, and eat and drink from the same bowl where he used to drink and eat. So, sometime, or most of the time, the grihasthas having this misconception, we got to offer something to someone. You know, offering, like, you know, our family, Kutumba Bharata, our children's, we are giving so much, you know, lavish or so much opulences to our children's, where they fall prey of many other vices. There's a small story which, you know, I would just would like to illustrate. The small story, once there was four friends, and among the friends there was one a doctor, one an engineer, one a teacher, and one a businessman. It so happened one of the friends fall sick. In time to time, all the other friends, they come and see him. The first, the businessman came and find out, oh, what happened to you? And they say, well, I just fall sick. I'm 3 days on the bed, bedridden. And that friend, because he was a very healthy, chubby one, but because of sicknesses, he became thin. And that friend bought nice eatable, like, you know, dry fruits and so forth, and then offer it to that friend. And say, well, you just eat this dry fruit and then you become powerful. You regain your health. And he was very thankful. And then he went back. And the second friend came. And he looked at him and said, hey, you have become thin. What happened to you? He said, well, I'm just basically diseased. And then I'm just put on bed. He said, well, just wait. He went to Ramdev, you know, pure ghee normally, and get 1 kg of ghee and gave it to the friend. And he was very thankful. The third one, who was a doctor, when he came, he looked at the friend. He said, what happened to you? He said, well, this is the situation. He looked at the friend. He looked at the other ingredient. He looked at the ghee. He looked at the dry fruits, the kaju, pista, badam, and so forth. And they said, what are you trying to do? He said, well, the friend just gave me to recover my health. He said, that's a good seed. But what are you doing with yourself? But that friend was a little confused. He said, what's your question this is all about? He said, just wanted to ask you, what are you doing with yourself? He said, could you be more precise? He says, because you are affected by the disease which is known as jaundice. You are affected with which disease? Jaundice. And in this state, if you eat dry fruit and the ghee, what will happen? Is any doctor over here? Any doctor? What happened? If it increase, the disease will cause that person to become more diseased and then finally died. Because in jaundice, you can't eat all the rich food. In jaundice, if you accept this, what will happen? That will be a reverse reaction. So now the question may be raised, do you think the other friend who gave the other ingredients, do you think they don't like the friend? No, they like him. They like the friend because they don't know exactly what is good for him and what is bad for him. Sometime the grihastha, they would offer so much for their family member, and then that will cause them great damages. And that basically the damages would be a stumbling block for spiritual advancement. Now we would find another story. Nalakuver and Manigrive. Then Nalakuver and Manigrive, whose son he was? The son of Kuver. Money, 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 sweeter than honey. Am I right? So the son of Kuber has lot of opulences, lot of facility, and due to that they were completely what? Being covered by the so-called opulences. And it so happened that, you know, they were with the power of money, because money can buy you. You know, there's a statement that there's no ash. Ash mean you can't be hippie-pippie-pure, you can't enjoy without cash. So there is no enjoyment you could do without money. So Kuber's son had a lot of money, and that money basically covered their intelligence. They failed to understand what is to be done and what not to be done. And what happened, out of this money power, they basically engaged themselves in so many horrible activities. Due to which, they hired some girls, and then they were just bathing naked in one of the lake. Money has got power. And due to that, they were just bathing there, and it so happened Narad Muni passed by. And Narad Muni saw Nala Kuber and Manigri was completely engrossed into sense gratification. And Narad Muni, because being a devotee, he had this natural compassion within his heart. He just wanted to offer some blessing to this devotee. But sometimes the blessing may be bitter. And that, seeing these two sons, Nala Kuber and Manigri, you know, undressed or no clothes within the on the body, and Narad Muni cursed that two boy. You become what? Become tree. What? Which kind of tree? Arjuna tree. And where? In Vrindavan Dham. So the curse of a devotee, it may seem to be like, you know, what is this? The devotee is just cursing. Like sometime I was just chanting in the morning, early morning, and I find the devotee was sleeping on the back. But I could not take it. Some devotee may look at me with the big eyes, which I don't care. Some devotee may be cursing me within the heart, which I pray to Prabhupada, you know, bless me and bless him at the same time. Within my mind, someone was asking, Prabhuji, why are you bothering yourself so much like this? You could have chanted your round. I say, if we would be a soldier, we are a soldier, Prabhupada, and while fighting with Maya, and one of the soldiers happened to be hurt. Because on the battlefield, there will be firing. In the battlefield, there will be bombardment. In the battlefield, there will be so much fighting goes on, and we may get hurt. It's been happening practically, isn't it? So then what happened? Do we leave that soldier over there? No, we would go. Come on. We'll put that soldier on our back, or shoulder, and then we would run toward the medical camp. This is what we would do. So similarly, when we find someone, due to whatever reason, unfortunately, they're not being able to maintain, then it's our duty to just wake them up with compassion. Prabhu, please, you got to do that. So Nala Kuber and Manigri were cursed by Narad Muni, but that curse was not a curse, it was a blessing in disguise. And then here they found themselves in the courtyard of Krishna, and he became the Arjuna tree, and being delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, personally. So, being puffed up with wealth, but due to the association of the devotee, you would find that this basically was a blessing in disguise form. I'm sure the time is running very short. With your permission, I just finishes it in 2 minutes, and then we will read for 5 minutes about Baladev Vidyabhushan in Ganga Mata and also Ganga Pujas. So within 5 minutes, just a quick reading. So finally we would find that Prabhupada left India in 1965, 40 rupees in pocket, having a trip which normally most of us would not like to have, on a cargo ship, and not a passenger ship, a cargo ship. And Prabhupada went to the West, and he, being affected by two heart attacks, land up in New York City with $40, doesn't even know where to go, whom to meet, and what to do, because he had got no friend over there. So Prabhupada was kind of, you know, with no material possession. But because he was very dear to Lord Krishna, and Krishna directed him, don't worry, And Prabhupada mentioned, if you have given me the name of Bhaktivedanta Swami, make this name potent. Make this name, like, you know, being known to people. Otherwise, the name would be useless. And in this way, Prabhupada, with 40 rupees, I would say, in today's day, Prabhupada may be the most wealthiest person in the whole world. So 40 rupees which Prabhupada carry, and Krishna gives him so much, because a devotee who doesn't use all these appliances for themselves, for the sense gratification, that devotee, that well, would not be a stumbling block in spiritual life. So I would like to stop here for Srimad Bhagavatam, but would like to attract your attention. We'll just go through a few paragraphs in respect to Ganga Mata and Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushan. So the Ganga Mata, few points we just want you to touch. From the childhood, Princess Sachidevi, the daughter of King Naresh Narayana of Bengal, showed unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. She even refused to marry on account of her genuine attachment to Krishna. So here, the Princess Sachidevi would later become Ganga Mata Goswamini. After her father demise, she rules the kingdom, but she soon renounced it to find a bona fide spiritual master. Princess Sachidevi met the Sri Haridas Pandit, a leading guru in Vrindavan, and began performing devout bhajans to Govindaji. Although she became frail from under eating and would always sleep on the Yamuna's sandy bank and rise before sunrise to clean Govindadev temple. Daily she would hear Srimad Bhagavat Katha, see Govindadev Artik, Sagamba Blade, Radha Shamasundar's Leela Sthana, pastime places such as Vamsivata, Sevakunj, Nidivan, Rasasthali. Receiving encouragement from Sri Haridas Pandit, Sachidevi completely dropped her false ego, put on rag, and went house to house in Braja begging alms. The Brajavasis were astonished by her severe renunciation. Taking her guru's suggestion, she went to Radhakund and associated with the Sri Lakshmi Priya Devi, a dear disciple of Sri Haridas. Following Thakur Haridas' perfect example, Lakshmi Priya Devi daily chanted 3 lakhs of name, or that come to be 192 round of Krishna. Every day, the two ladies would sangamabilate Govardhan Hill and worship Krishna. Every day. On her guru's order, Sachidevi went to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannathpuri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the most of the Gauranga Sundara eternal associate, had already returned to Golok Vrindavan. Sachidevi restored Sarvabhauma's house and established the first class worship of Sri Shyama Rai, a deity given to her by a Jaipur Brahmana. Every day, she lectured Srimad Bhagavatam. Her classes became popular, attracting eager listeners from miles around. Many people, including the Brahmanas, the king, Mukunda Dev, took initiation from Sachidevi. In Sri Navadvipa, Dhamma Parikrama, it is explained how Sachidevi got the name Gangamata. On the day of a Ganga Sagar Mela, Sachidevi, who was residing in Jagannathpuri, desired to bathe in the Ganges. That night the Ganga flowed from the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath and came to Sachi's ashram. Entering Ganga Devi's water, Sachi floated the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, the Swami, inside the temple. After unlocking the door the next morning, the pujari was surprised to find her inside the temple, thinking she was a thief. They immediately put Sachidevi in jail. Seeing this mistake, Lord Jagannath appeared simultaneously in the dream to both the Puri king and the head pujari. The Lord ordered them to release Sachidevi and take initiation from her. From then on, she became the famous Ganga Mata Goswamini. So, there's many, someone can take it off, they can read due to having less time. So we'd like to talk a little bit about Baladev Vidyabhushan. In fact, Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was a person Bhagavat. Because yesterday, when I was approached to give a class, so I said, well, could I speak on Balde Vidya Bhushan? He said, no, you better speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. I said, well, both are the same, because as a person Bhagavat, and the second is the Granth Bhagavat. So we'd like to just reflect upon for our purification. Srila Balde Vidya Bhushan was born in the early part of 18th century, 1720, in the village near Remuna, Balasore, district of Orissa. Even though he was a son of a Vaishya farmer, in his youth, he received a very thorough education in Sanskrit, logic, and Vaishnava scripture. He accepted sannyas into the Madhava Sampradaya at a very young age and stayed at Jagannath Puri. He became a renowned scholar and traveled around India to all the holy places. During his travel, Baladev came to Puri in Orissa, Utkal. He met with one disciple of the famous Rasika, Rasikananda Prabhu of the name of Radha Damodar Dev Goswami. It was to the surprise that everyone that Baladev was converted into Gaudiya Vaishnavism by Radha Damodar Dev Goswami, who first explained the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in accordance with the tenet of Vedanta Sutra and Srimad Bhagavatam, then initiated him as his formal disciple. Under his direction, he studied Jiva Goswami Sat Sandarbha, and he quickly became prominent in all the intellectual circle. This Radha Damodar Dev Goswami, although not a prominence as a member of the parampara, he wrote Vedanta Shamantaka in 6th chapter dealing with the Pramanas to be accepted. The five are Pramanas, the Goswami, the Jivas, the Prakriti, time and karma, and quoted Madhvacharya prolifically, the Brahma Sutta Bhashya, and pleaded vigorously for the distinctions of the Jiva and the Brahman, and the doctrines of the Brahman, the doctrine of the Brahman, history of the Dvaita school and Vedanta. There is an interesting story which shows the surrendered Buddha Balde Vidya Bhushan in his sincere desire to please his spiritual master. Once, when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was too old to travel, he sent Baladev to a conference to represent Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Baladev Vidya Bhushan was required to prove that the validity of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to the rest of the Vaishnava community from the scriptural point of view, and thus become duly authorized to speak on matter pertaining to the ritual of pujas and Vaishnava religion. Though he was preaching ferociously, no one was prepared to accept his statement according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Although sufficient evidence were there, the reason others would not accept the statement was because there was no established commentary of Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra to purport Gaudiya Vaishnavism at that time. Some were saying that in every other sampradaya, the founding or the reforming acharya had made some form of commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Sankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vallabha, etc. Even though Lord Chaitanya explained Vedanta Sutra, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 7.138-2146, touching the main subject matter, nothing was written. Some member of Sri Sampradaya, Ramanandi, began to raise this argument in court of the king at Jaipur. They complained that as a Gaudiya Vaishnava had no commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, they were not qualified to worship the deity. And therefore, all the worship should be turned over to the Sri Sampradaya. They also objected the worship of Srimati Radharani along with Govinda and Sri Gopinath as not being authorized anywhere in the Shastra. The king Sadachari Raja was initiated within the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Thus he quietly sent word to Vrindavan informing the devotee there of what had happened. At the time the king was obliged to remove Radharani temporarily from the deity room, as well as suspend Bengali a Gaudiya Vaishnava Pujari from partaking in the deity worship. As we have just started, at that time Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very aged. So it was not possible for him to take the odious journey to Jaipur. In his place, he sent his student, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, who was fully conversant with the Shastra and thus able to competently face the challenges in a great assembly. He poses such a forceful argument to the followers of Ramanuja, the Ramanandi, that they could not reply them. He further explained to them, the originator of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, as composed by Srila Vyasadeva himself. This proven in the Satsandarbha. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami has commented on this point, saying that the reason that the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not make a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra was because they came in the line through Vyasa to Madhva, who had already made their commentaries. So why should they make theirs? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Goswami were quite happy to follow in the footstep of the previous Acharya. So A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that's a lecture in New York, January 1967 in San Francisco, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 22.21-28. There's so much to read, but would like to stop here. And would like to humbly request if any Vaishnava has any questions or anything to say about these two great occasion. Any question? Thank you so much. Granthraj Madhbhagavatam ki.